This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who follow his footsteps, who follow his way, who follow his methodology until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we are exploring another chapter from amongst the chapters of Riyadu Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And Imam al-Nawawi entitles this chapter as Babu Tahreem al-Zulmi wal-Amri bi-Radd al-Mazalim. That is, the chapter pertaining to unlawfulness, the unlawfulness of oppression, the unlawfulness of oppression and restoring others' rights. And basically, the lecture today is about beware of oppression. Beware of oppression. And the word for oppression in Arabic is dhulm, dhulm. And the one who oppresses others is a zalim. One who is oppressing somebody else is a zalim. Zalim coming from zulm. And the one who is on the receiving end of oppression, the one who is on the receiving end, the recipient of oppression, is known as the mazlum. Mazlum. The one who is being oppressed. So there is zulm, there is the zalim, and there is the mazlum. Now, zulm linguistically means a shortfall or falling short regarding something, being deficient. Now, when we look at it in the context of the Sharia, when we look at zulm in the context of Islam, it's about not carrying out an action towards somebody. Or for example, leaving off something that is obligatory upon you. So you could be behaving in a certain manner towards someone that is unlawful, or you may not be fulfilling the rights of somebody. That is both, yani, zulm. When it comes to zulm, when it comes to oppression, there's two types of zulm. There's zulm that is to do with the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. So one could be committing zulm when it comes to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, one can be committing zulm when it comes to the rights of people. So there's the rights of Allah, the rights of our Creator, God Almighty, and there's the rights of people. So these are the two areas where people are likely to commit oppression. Now, the greater of the two, obviously, is oppression committed towards Allah Azza wa Jal. The oppression that we commit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked about which sin is the gravest, or which sin is the greatest, which sin is most great in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ayyu dhanbi a'zam. This is the question he was asked, which sin is greatest. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, أَن تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ, that you associate or you ascribe a partner, an equal to Allah, whilst He is the one who created you. How can you ascribe a partner to Allah when Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them. So the most serious of offenses in Islam is shirk, and that is polytheism, and associating a partner with God Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may pardon a person of any sin except for shirk. So if you die having committed so many different types of major sins and minor sins, you may be forgiven. But one sin that you will never be forgiven of, or for, which warrants eternal punishment in the hellfire, perpetual punishment in the hellfire, is the crime of shirk, having associated a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the biggest form of oppression. The biggest form of oppression is that you do not believe fully and wholeheartedly in monotheism, that Allah Azza wa Jal, we call this in Arabic, we call this Tawheed. So there needs to be firm belief in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Next type of oppression comes or has been committed when it comes to major sins. Such as what? Such as, zina, adultery or fornication. Such as theft. Such as not being dutiful to one's parents. Such as dealing with riba, usury. And there are books written about the major sins. Imam Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he enumerates about 70 of them, 70 major sins in his book, The Major Sins. So, when you are committing these sort of sins, you are committing an oppression towards yourself. So yes, we can go back and say that many of us are oppressing ourselves in many ways. And we are, by not fulfilling the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal and the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some of us are committing oppression by not giving the rights to others. Then next comes minor sins. Minor sins are also a form of oppression. Now, so we go on and we talk about oppressing the rights of Allah. When it comes to having oppression also revolves around three matters that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly defined and outlined in his farewell sermon, which is known as Khutbatul Wada'. During Khutbatul Wada', which is the sermon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave when he was on the mountain of Arafat, he gave a very penetrating sermon. And remembering that this was like one of those, a mother of sermons, given that the Prophet ﷺ was going to, his death was coming near because he passed away in the following year. So during this sermon, he had in front of him, over 120,000 Muslims. Over 120,000 Muslims that he captured their hearts during a period of 23 years of prophethood. And in Sahih Bukhari, we capture one aspect of this sermon whereby he said, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَادَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. That basically, and then he goes on and he says, كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. He said, O people, that indeed your dima, your lives, okay, dima, it comes from the word blood, okay, dam, dima'akum, your lives and your honor and your property or the property of every Muslim is sacred. It's sacred. Three things: the lives of people, people's honor, and people's wealth are sacred in Islam. They are not to be violated. There is to be no violations committed regarding them. And he said, just as you regard this month as being sacred. Which month was he referring to? Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Hajj, is one of the sacred months. كَشَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. And he said, as this day is, and this day was the day of Arafah, and Arafah is the most sacred day of the year. كَيَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا, in this city of yours, which is Mecca. Mecca, in Islam, is considered the holy city, a very sacred city. The city in which is the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The city of the Kaaba, where the Muslims from all around the globe face for their five daily prayers. So he's saying to them, well, just as you recognize this month as being sacred, and this day as being sacred, and this city as being sacred, Likewise, your lives and your honor and your wealth as Muslims is also sacred in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the sight of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So, when it comes to our lives, what does that mean? What does it mean, dima'akum, your lives? Well, here the Prophet ﷺ is warning against violating the rights of others by afflicting bodily harm, whether it be killing, or whether it be injuring others, or whether it be physical abuse. This is not allowed in Islam. Okay, you cannot commit these acts towards other people, other Muslims. And he said, "A'radakum." Your ard is your honor. Your honor. People's honor. People have an honor. And again, you may be violating people's honor by, for example, having an illicit relationship with them. You know, such as zina, fornication, adultery. Major sins in Islam. Okay, in Islam, you're not allowed to have intimate relations, intercourse, okay, unless you are married. So Islam is against girlfriend, boyfriend relationships. These are extramarital relationships, and they are shunned in Islam, and they are not allowed. Likewise, when it comes to honor, there's something known as al-qadh, which is false accusation. That you accuse someone of having committed something that they, without any evidence, sound evidence and proof. This is also damaging people's honor. So this is not allowed in Islam. Likewise, people's wealth, amwalakum, people's wealth is not to be, there is to be no committing of violation when it comes to people's wealth. And for example, by not paying someone what is rightfully theirs, or spending, for example, wealth on prohibitions, or refraining from giving wealth to whom it is obligated upon you to spend wealth. So for example, if you are a father, or if you are a husband, you are obligated to spend on your wife. You are obligated to spend on your children. Okay? If you are a person who has met the requirements of zakah, which is the third pillar of Islam, then you have an obligation to give zakat money, or 2.5% of your annual savings that reaches the nisab, that reaches the minimum threshold, that you give it to one of the eight deserving recipients of zakah. This is what it means here, not to be committing oppression when it comes to your amwal, when it comes to the wealth. Okay? Likewise, if you owe, for example, money to someone, and by the way, when it comes to loans, it's very important that you are very transparent in your loan. Don't just give some, don't just enter into a loan transaction without there being clarity. So you say, look, okay, I'm borrowing from you $100, okay, and I'm going to pay it back to you by this date. Now you need to honor that agreement. And if that person, if the creditor comes to you and seeks his money, then you have an obligation to pay him his money. If you're in a difficult circumstance, then explain to him your circumstance. Otherwise, don't delay. Because by you delaying, you have committed oppression. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that is found in Sahih Bukhari, he said, matlul ghaniy dhulm, matlul ghani. When you delay, the person who is ghani, in other words, the person here, the creditor, if you are delaying the creditor, his wealth that is due to him, this is oppression. So be careful. Make sure that when you come to repay your debts, that you pay them back on time and don't delay. Don't delay. Treat debts very seriously, and inshallah we'll talk about this in a moment when we read some of the hadiths that Imam An-Nawawi chose in this topic. In this chapter. So all forms of oppression, brothers and sisters in Islam, are haram. And the oppressor, the zalim, the oppressor, will find no one to make him victorious or to aid him on the day of judgment. Listen to this, these two verses from the Quran that talk about this. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 270, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. ظَالِمِين is the plural of a ظَالِم, an oppressor. ظَالِمِين or ظَالِمُون. So, and the wrongdoers or the oppressors will have no helpers, no ansar, no helpers on the day of judgment. So, on the day of judgment, the oppressor, the ظَالِم, will find no helper.